This is Solly and Steve on Sports, the show dedicated to us ranting about sports.
This is indeed Solly and Steve on Sports, the show dedicated to us ranting about sports, brought to you by the I-95 Sports and Entertainment Network and Mile High Radio in Denver. Oh, it is so good to be hearing that music again. Football is back. I'm sorry we've taken so long to get an NFL episode out to you, but we're finally here. We finally got football to talk about. Solly and Jeff coming to you from the FedEx Studios. Danny via Skype from the Roger Dorn Recording Studios. Yes, we're multitasking tonight once again. Danny, how the hell are you?
It's actually not the Roger Dorn studio.
What is it?
Got a name, something for my bedroom.
It's
I don't know. I'll figure out something.
All right.
The Tommy Wiseau Studio of Excellence.
Yes, that works.
That'll be a pending name upon my approval.
All right. So Steve's not here. He's got a prior commitment, but that's okay. We'll get his football picks later on for week two in the NFL. We've got plenty to talk about from the National Football League. We got injuries abound in the NFL. Danny, that's going to suck for you and your fantasy team. We got the
Matt.
Yeah?
I'm flipping the bird as we speak.
Yeah, I know. I figured you would be. But we got Fantasy Flash to get to. We got Pigskin Pick'em to get to. All that and more coming up. But if you are a New York football fan, week one had to suck. One team was almost a given that it was going to suck. The other one, a little bit of a surprise, the Giants no-showed on Sunday Night Football. The offensive line couldn't do jack squat to keep Eli Manning protected, which is why the Giants only scored 3 points.
It wasn't even because of that. Their offense was not clicking at all. Once the Giants announced that Odell wasn't going to be able to play, the Cowboys' defense, you can't discredit the Cowboys defense for adapting to the Giants offense, inept offense apparently. The Giants should have had a backup plan. They probably did if Odell was not going to play, but also the Cowboys adapted. It's like, okay, Odell is not going to play. Let's just take advantage of that. Brandon Marshall, I did not hear his name at all. I think he caught maybe one ball.
One catch for 10 yards for Marshall.
Yeah, Paul Perkins was a no-show, supposed to be number one running back for the Giants. And also, the tight end that the Giants drafted in the first round, he was supposed to be a big portion of that offense with Odell, Brandon Marshall, Sterling Shepard, and Eric Ingram, I think that's his name.
It is.
And Eli Manning just derped on the field. He derped off the field. He already made his Eli Manning meme face for the season already. It's awesome.
Eli, for the record, Eli went 29 of 38, 220 yards, no touchdowns and a pick. And Ingram had 7 catches for 44 yards on the evening. But that goes to show how pathetically weak that offensive line was. I was talking to a couple of Giant fans during the game, and one of my buddies ended up telling me he wants Eric Flowers completely gone from this team, and it was a clear reason why, because Eli had no time to set up and throw. It was mostly those 5-yard dink-and-dunk passes that got the Giants even remotely moving. Hell, they didn't get a first down until the second quarter. And this is
not even the offensive line. We all know the offensive line can struggle. But Eli Manning was supposed to – this offense, everyone said, this offense could be one of the best offenses in the NFL. And also with that defense, everyone was saying they could have a potential chance to make it to the Super Bowl. Hell, even win the Super Bowl. But on Sunday night, it just didn't – nothing clicked. And the Giants are going to have to do something next week. I forgot who they're facing next
week. It's Monday night. They play Detroit.
Well, let's see what happens with them. We're going to discuss that in the Pigskin Pick'em games. But also, think about it. The Cowboys' defense, it looked dominant. I don't know if that's saying the right thing because maybe the Giants' offense didn't show up. But the Cowboys won after a interesting week for the Cowboys nation. We'll discuss that after we talk about the Giants. The Giants, they struggled, and I don't know if it's just getting just first game jitters out of the way.
I doubt it. Well, I doubt that highly. You saw what the Giants did to Dallas week one last year. They went into Big D and they beat them up. They flat out beat them up and they outplayed them last year.
Yep, exactly. So with the Giants, they hopefully they can bounce back against the Lions, who once again pulled another fourth quarter comeback against the Arizona Cardinals. As for, are we still going to talk about the Giants or no?
Well, yeah. Well, it's not so much the Giants. It's think about this game from Dallas. Well, think about it from a Dallas perspective. A little bit of history made on Sunday. Jason Witten is now the all-time leading receiver in Cowboys history, having passed Michael Irvin with his touchdown catch Sunday night. So,
Matt, question.
Yes.
What's the difference between Michael Irvin and Jason Witten?
Well, it's different positions. Obviously, Witten's a tight end. Michael Irvin was a wide receiver. Or is there more to it than that?
What is the biggest difference between them two?
Talent level? Height? Size?
Jeff, I think you can answer this question. What's the biggest difference between them?
He's shaking his head. No. He doesn't want to answer. Why don't you want to... Jeff, come on. Why don't you want to answer? He's still just shaking his head. No.
Morons or something? What? In the 90s?
Oh, what yeah. The biggest difference, Michael Irvin's got, I don't know, 3 Super Bowl rings, Jason Witten, Jack Squat.
You know, it only took me to remind you to get...
No, I knew that. I was trying to drag it out a little longer.
Bull!
I'm
literally spitting at my computer right now to call the bull. Even though I oh, crap. Bull smudge. I thought one of you guys would say one's white, one's black, but...
No, I wasn't going to say that. Come on, Danny. I wanted to go one show without doing some. Danny, we're not Stephen A. Smith. We're not going to make that point. Come on.
Hey, South Park's back tomorrow night. So
I know. I can't wait.
But the only exciting thing about Sunday Night Football was Carrie Underwood. That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jeff, you agree with me on that one, or did you not watch it?
No, he's giving the thumbs up.
Right?
Did you even watch the game? I'm curious.
I watched.
No, Danny, I was talking to Jeff.
The Carry On opening and maybe 2 minutes of the rest of the game.
Jeff, did you watch any of it? Yes or no?
I had to sleep. I had to wake up like 3 a.m.
All right, can
I catch any of the game? Not really.
That's a resounding no. I caught most of it. I needed something to drown out my sorrows from the Met game earlier that day, but that's another argument entirely.
Dude, you're an idiot.
Yeah, I know. Well, it was discounted tickets and we had decent seats, so.
I don't know.
I had to get in my one Met game for the year, so I was content.
Matt, you'd rather be waterboarded than go to another Met game for the rest of the year.
I don't plan on going to another game for the year. I'm good. I got my one game in. Yeah, I know. But all right. So back to the NFL. The other big story. Okay, then wrap your head around this. The biggest story coming out of the NFL from week one, as far as Sunday night goes, is the fact that Ezekiel Elliott not only played, but looks like he could be playing the entire year, despite the 6-game suspension handed out by the NFL. Good job, National Football League, for once again screwing this up.
Once again, it just proves that Roger Goodell and his band of cronies can't do the right job. We'll probably see another strike in the time being once the collective bargaining agreement expires.
Which is when, do you know?
I have no idea. It's soon. I know that. Once again, here's the thing. I don't know too much about the Ezekiel Elliott thing. I know that there was little evidence. That's the only thing I know. It just shows how Roger Goodell is an ass. And this is not just from the Patriots standpoint. But he is an ass. He's one of the worst commissioners out of all the big four sports. I think Gary Bettman just beats him by an edge because I think there's been 2 strikes on the Bettman or 3. I'm not too sure.
Yeah, it's 3. It's 3 mini, 2 mini strikes and a complete lockout for Gary Bettman. And for the record, the CBA in the NFL officially runs out in 2020. So we have, including this year, we have 3 more years of NFL football.
Okay, so... Knock on wood for that one.
Don't worry, I'm already doing that.
So, and they want to extend Roger Goodell for a contract for some reason. He's just making an ass out of himself.
Well, that's the owners wanting to extend Roger Goodell's contract because, cha-ching, cha-ching, the owners are getting rich off it and they clearly don't give a crap.
I think there's two owners in the NFL who actually do give a crap.
Who and who?
These two owners are probably the most powerful owners in the NFL.
And they are?
I think you can guess. Or, Jeff, do you want to guess?
Yeah, I'll let Jeff get the first crack at it, because I think I know.
Can I think of Kraft?
There's one.
Okay, and the other one?
Not Jerry Jones.
Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
I said not him. Not...
No, it is Jerry Jones.
Oh, it is Jerry Jones.
Yeah, it's Jerry Jones and Robert Kraft.
So, and what has Roger Goodell done to both those teams?
Suspensions in some way, shape, or form.
And were these suspensions in the right or the wrong?
Right.
As in the due process.
Oh, wrong in both cases.
Thank you. So it just shows hopefully the owners can actually get their head out of their asses or sponsorships and actually say, oh, Goodell's actually a moron. But we won't see that anytime soon.
No.
Roger Goodell will stay in the NFL chair.
Yeah, but you know the old saying, Danny, money talks and bullcrap walks.
Isn't it money talks and bullcrap walks? You just made
the list. I was trying to save Jeff from having to edit.
You just made the list.
Sorry. I haven't cursed all day.
So he's going to get it out of his system now on the show. All right. That's it. That's why we have the soundbite. We have to cover it up. Right?
Oh, did I ever tell you Denver blows?
Yeah. Well, they got extremely lucky on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, against the Clippers or the Chargers, whatever the hell their name.
Yeah.
They should just get rid of the whole name. They got to rebrand the whole team.
Why?
Here's the thing. I think Chargers, I think San Diego. I don't think Los Angeles.
No, the Raiders, you can make the argument because you think of them in both L.A. and Oakland. That made sense. The Chargers, not so much.
I just don't know. I don't know. I don't know who. I thought Oakland was in Las Vegas already.
No, they're moving there next year.
They are?
Yeah, I believe it's next season.
Okay.
Let me check.
I'm just really confused. If you want to discuss, do you want to discuss Monday Night or you want to discuss the other New York team?
So unfortunately, there's a bag of crap known as the New York Jets who surprisingly actually managed to score a touchdown. It's a miracle in and of itself, and it came out of Josh friggin' McCown. I can't believe I'm saying that. Josh McCown scored the only touchdown for the Jets. That's how you know there's a problem. And we're now also being joined by executive producer Greg Delaney, who has decided to show up. Greg, thoughts on the Jet game, if you saw any of it.
Yeah, they completed for the first step in the mission, boys. First step to 0-16. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't go that far. I was talking to another friend of mine about this the other day. I have the Jets getting 3 wins. It'll be a miracle in and of itself if the Jets will get 3 wins. One of them will be over the Browns. Almost guarantee it. McCown beats his old team.
I'll put money on that, Matt.
Oh, no, that's a tie. Oh, no, there you go.
Matt,
yeah,
remember
again?
The bet last year?
Oh, Davis Barron-Corbin.
Yeah, with 0-16?
Yes, let me speak, Greg. When is that Cleveland Brown Jet game?
Week 6, I think. I'm checking now. Yeah, it's sad. I don't know the schedule off the top of my head.
Oh.
All right. Answer is, they get the Raiders this week. We'll talk about that later. Yeah, week 5 in Cleveland, which
okay.
is October 8th.
All right, Matt. Winner, I'm picking Cleveland.
I'll take the Jets.
Winner buys Applebee's.
Deal. You got a bet. We have the audio of it.
And a witness.
Yeah.
No,
we got two witnesses. Because Jeff's here on our end, too.
I really think I have a strong chance to win because I think Cleveland has a decent defense. They have a young quarterback now who actually, I think, can throw the ball.
Yeah.
And they have a good running back. They have a good wide receiver. It took me a while to figure that. I think the Cleveland Browns are a better football team than the Jets.
Yeah.
Both are a dumpster fire, but
yeah,
I think Cleveland...
And you can throw another dumpster fire organization into that argument, the San Francisco 49ers, but that's another argument entirely in and of itself. So, yeah, the Jets flat out sucked. And you kind of had a feeling going into this game, and anybody who even remotely observes New York Jets football, whether you're a casual fan or you're a diehard Jet fan, will tell you that the offense was going to suck. That's a given. But nobody expected the Jets defense to get lit up like a Christmas tree by Shady McCoy. 120 yards on the ground, and he made them look absolutely ridiculous at least three times.
Dude, LeSean McCoy is a good running back.
I'm not denying that.
So why were you surprised?
Because I actually thought the Jets defense might be able to contain him to 100 and not give up a buck 20.
That's blows. What do you expect? The Jets defense sucks.
I thought they would have been. No, the Jets defense is supposed to be the strength of this football team.
He could have got 100 yards against them, and he's packing groceries at a local supermarket.
That's a stretch.
Nice one, Greg. But yeah, I thought the Jets defense would have been able to be at least somewhat decent.
But Jamal Adams, what, he can play every position now?
No, he can't.
That's a good draft pick, but love of God, the guy can't play every position. Next time he tries to make too many tackles, he's going to get hurt, and then, oh crap, your season's over anyway, but, oh crap, you just lost our number, five draft
five pick,
who's going to be our future.
Yeah, right, like the Jets had a future.
Oh, Greg just made a good point.
He wanted
to die on the field, so you know what? He'll die on the field playing so many positions.
Yeah. Well, you know. Well, then again, in hindsight, the Jets defense is so good.
Oh, in hindsight now.
Exactly, the Jets defense is so good they had to trade away Sheldon Richardson for Javon Kurse, who actually had a decent football game. So yeah, Kurse ended up finishing with 7 catches for 59 yards, and this coming from a guy who was just brought in less than a week ago. So
he's the next Santana Moss, isn't he?
Nah, hell no, I'm not going that far. Santana Moss. Are you high, Danny? Santana Moss and Keyshawn Johnson were both. Santana Moss was a legitimate number two threat, borderline number one. Keyshawn was a number one threat. And, oh, by the way, for the record, the only reason the Jets even took Keyshawn Johnson with the number one overall pick in 96 was because Peyton Manning decided to stay a year at Tennessee. That's why the Jets took Keyshawn.
Damn.
Yeah.
What a shame.
Peyton Manning could have been a Jet, but stayed one more year in college, and the Jets took Keyshawn Johnson.
Ta-da! He's smart.
Yeah, no, Peyton Manning's a very smart man, and he was at the game Sunday night, too, with Giants and Cowboys.
Yeah, he was probably watching over Eli Manning, saying, I know him so much better than you.
Yeah. All right, how's this for a surprise name that actually popped up? Will Tye's now with the Jets. I completely forgot about that until reading the box score. Yeah. 3 catches, 34 yards for the Jets on Sunday. Amazing numbers. And you wonder why the Giants got rid of him. That's why.
I can hear a cricket outside my window.
Yeah.
That's my reaction to what you just said.
Yeah, I know. Will Tye's with the Jets. I don't know. I quit. I give up trying to explain logic with the Jets.
I'm done trying to explain the logic with the Jets.
I'm just trying to figure out the logic with the Jets. Because if the Jets had any logic to them at all, why in the bloody hell is Todd Bowles punting down 2 scores and the ball's on the 44-yard line? Why? Oh, wait, that's why, because it's Todd friggin' Bowles. He may be the only manager in sports who's dumber than Terry Collins, and that's saying a lot right now.
Okay, well, here's the difference between Todd Bowles and Terry Collins. And no, not because one's white, one black. Another reason is because Terry Collins is dealing with a team of minor leaguers and an entire 25-man roster who's at a local hospital right now, all having a good time because they don't want to touch Citi Field because afraid their kneecap will explode.
But surprisingly enough, the Yankees can win there anyway. That's another argument entirely.
Because the Yankees are
good night, Greg.
Are a established organization with class. All right, the Mets, they have perfect example.
All right, we'll get to this quickly.
Noah Syndergaard, perfect example. You know what? I'm not gonna have an MRA. Next pitch. Oh, my lat just came out my back.
Yep. All right. So, yeah, Todd Bowles is an idiot. And he actually said in the press conference that he thought the reason he punted with the ball on the 44 and down 2 scores was because he actually thought that the Jets could stop Buffalo, get the ball back, and score twice. Todd Bowles, you, sir, are Chris Jericho's ultimate definition of a stupid idiot. And that's being nice. Jeff, I'm saving you from editing right now. So, Todd Bowles is a stupid idiot.
I think he's up against Lombardi.
Yeah, right. And the Patriots are going to go 0-16 this year. Oops.
Yeah, Matt, if that happens, I'm coming. I know where you live.
Yeah, but they're already 0-1. Sorry, the Pats are going to go 16-0. That's what I meant to say. The Pats are going to go 16-0.
You blew it!
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Can I tell you a funny story about opening night?
Please.
All right. So, I didn't know if Brennan told you this. So, Thursday night, I'm all getting ready for the Patriot game. I'm all excited because football's back. And, yeah.
Yeah.
So we come home and there's like construction workers and like, what are they called now? Con Ed, not LIPA anymore. What are they called?
What's the power authority now, Jeff? Do you know? Yeah, we don't know either. Whatever, they're still LIPA.
Whatever, right? They're all up and down Abbey Lane and around Blossom and Chestnut and Sparrow. We're like, what the hell happened? So apparently, when no one was home except for Monty, apparently a cement truck hit a power line on our block.
Oh.
And it was like a loud explosion, apparently, and Monty must have had a field day because he was home by himself when all this was going on.
Oh,
so,
poor Monty.
Yeah, we had no power, and we came home, and I'm like, what the hell happened? We had no power. And all of a sudden, we asked one of the guys, like, listen, when are we going to get power back? He's like, oh, probably 2 a.m.
2 a.m.? Like,
2 a.m.? That's football on. So I had to go to Miller's, and me and Greg and Brendan, we all went to Miller's and watched the Patriots and the Chiefs game. So at the end of half, I leave to go home, and I went to bed with the Patriots winning 17-7.
Oh.
I wake up around 1:20 when we actually got power back on. And I see my phone, and one of my friends who's a Patriot fan says, what the hell happened? I'm like, I'm looking at my phone, like, happens to my, huh? I look at the score, and I see the score, and I'm like, what? Like a Tim Allen, from Home Improvement thing. And I just see, like, what the hell did they do? Kansas City, I don't know what the hell Alex Smith was smoking that game. He looked like a great quarterback who actually could throw the ball. And here's the thing. I know we always rat on Andy Reid and their high potent offense, but they're fast.
Yeah, for the record, Alex Smith's final line for Thursday night, 28 of 35, 368 yards, 4 touchdowns. Kareem Hunt, who you have on your football team, and you're trying to unload to me for some ungodly reason.
Not anymore. Trades off.
That's what I thought. Yeah. So
why are you yelling at me?
No. So, Jeff, get this. He's been trying. He was trying leading up to the game, and he was leading up through it. Not only through the game, but he was doing it mostly what? Sunday, Danny?
What were they doing?
You spent a couple of days trying to unload Hunt to me for Todd Gurley. And it was
here's the thing. Me and Brendan were literally this close from making a trade, once I heard about David Johnson, I completely retracted everything.
Yeah, I thought you were going to do that.
No trade, because I need my running back.
I know you do. David Johnson's out 2 to 3 months with a broken wrist, or the wrist injury.
Yes.
So David Johnson's out a couple months, and Danny was originally trying to trade Hunt to me in a package deal for Todd Gurley. I hedged on it. For your sake, thank God I did. But Hunt finished with 17 carries for 148 yards and a touchdown. And Tyreek Hill, 7 catches, 133 yards and a touchdown, including a 75-yarder.
Yes.
So, yeah, Kansas City was feeling it Thursday night.
Sorry.
Oh, that was priceless, Danny. That was worth it. That was worth it.
We're done talking about Jets and Giants, right?
Clearly. Danny Amendola was the only big game for the Pats. He had 100 yards receiving.
And a concussion.
Yeah. How about Detroit pulling off the cardiac kid mode again, coming back on Arizona like that? They were down like 20. They were down 23-12 at one point.
Are we going to do the best and worst?
Sort of. Well, let's see.
Let's do the best and worst.
All right, and I'm also going to have that on the blog by the end of the week, ssunsports.blogspot.com. I do individual performances, but we can mix bag it. Detroit beating up on Arizona, and Arizona blowing that game. What else? Oakland whooping up on Tennessee. That's no surprise. You got anything specific, Danny?
That's how we do best and worst. We both choose two best and two worst.
All right.
I know. We had to get our football minds rolling. Thank God. I just want to say before, thank God football's back because
amen.
This had to be one of the worst summers for Met fans and Knick fans. And I don't want to say hockey fans because nothing really happened. But with the crap the Knicks have been through and the ongoing morgue at Citi Field, I just don't understand how I could not enjoy my summer with all this work, with everything going on. So I'm happy football is back.
Okay, then really quickly, my two best were Kareem Hunt for the 148 yards leading the NFL in rushing, and the Detroit Lions were playing comeback kids. Worst, Indianapolis Colts, which proved that they can't play without Andrew Luck. They got demolished. And Le'Veon Bell for his paltry 38 yards rushing.
Right, so my first pick for the worst of week one, Seattle Seahawks offensive line. Many people thought that this would be a resurgence year for Russell Wilson. He's healthy. Many people think Doug Baldwin, this could be his breakout year for the Seahawks. Against the Packers, who have a okay defense, it made them look like the 86 Bears week one. Russell Wilson was scrambling all over the place. He had no time to throw. The offensive line literally fell at many times during the game. And then Aaron Rodgers, once he got into the groove, picked apart the Seattle's defense. So the offensive line for not protecting Russell Wilson and the crappy running game they have week one, they're my worst. Also, the Cincinnati Bengals, the only team to get shut out week one. And they got shut out by the Baltimore Ravens, who are not a good football team to begin with. Andy Dalton did nothing. A.J. Green, because of Andy Dalton, could not do anything. And their running back situation right now is quite bad. They drafted Joe Mixon, who was projected to be their starting running back. But then Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard all started running during the game. So now you have a three-man running back committee. That is not good, and also not good for fantasy owners, which myself, I have Joe Mixon, I drafted over Dalvin Cook. So that is kind of biting me in the ass right now. To my best of week one, Dalvin Cook is also my best because he broke the Minnesota Vikings rookie record of most rushing yards in one game. He broke Adrian Peterson's record when Adrian Peterson debuted for the Vikings in 2007, so 10 years ago. So congratulations to Dalvin Cook. And also, for my best for week one, I'm really happy to say this because it's been a long time. Hold on, let me just catch my breath. The Jacksonville Jaguars defense. They faced a garbage team in the Houston Texans with two quarterbacks who... Exactly.
And it has now been announced that Deshaun Watson is going to get the start for Houston next week.
I'm just so happy to say that the Jacksonville Jaguars defense are actually not bad. It's a good defense. If taken seriously, they can be not a threat, but in the time being, in the future, I think they have a chance to be a good team. Also, Allen Robinson needs to stay healthy, and now he's out for the year, so yeah.
It's like, guys, can't stay healthy. And Andrew Luck hasn't played a second all year. Allen Robinson's knee's gone for the year. Julian Edelman's gone for the year with a knee injury. What is it with guys not staying healthy in the NFL? What the bloody hell, man?
It's a rough game.
That's football.
Good iron sport.
That's football, Danny.
All about big skin, man.
Yeah. All right, so you want to do the fantasy flash?
Also, I'll mention to Leonard Fournette and Christian McCaffrey, welcome to the NFL.
Yeah, and Fournette had a big day on Sunday. Oh, that guy can play, dude.
What?
Yeah, Leonard Fournette can play. He was feeling it on Sunday. Fifth best rushing day in the NFL with 100 yards. The only guys who had more yards on the ground, Ezekiel Elliott at 104, LeSean McCoy at 110, Dalvin Cook at 127, and Kareem Hunt at 148. Impressive, sir. Most impressive. It's a pretty good way to introduce yourself to the NFL, I gotta say. So now,
yes,
it's time for the fantasy update for the week. Let's get into it. It's the Fantasy Flash.
Fantasy Flash!
So Fantasy Flash we go, and the highest scorer of the week was me. I put a whooping on Brendan. I ended up beating him by like 80, rounding up 194 to 107. King Arthur defeated Archie's Bunkers 166 to 130. Again, I'm rounding up with the numbers. The Edgar Allan Poe's, who need to change their name, scored a 122 to 101 win over Howe. The Tool Man, which is, if I'm right, is you, Danny, a 180 to 152 yes. win over Reagan's running backs. And Who Shot JR beat Teddy's Big Stick 162 to 148. So
oh, yeah, Greg,
we need to start off
name.
In fantasy. What's up?
No, I'm telling Greg. Oh, both Greg and Brendan and my own. Oh, God damn it, guys.
Why? Yeah.
No, they got to change their names.
Yeah, Brendan's still Harambe from last year. The Edgar Allan Poe's haven't changed their name, and neither has Teddy's Big Stick. I mean, those are the same names we had last year with historical figures. It's the TV dads. So, looking at the divisional standings for week one, Al Bundy division, it's Adam's Family, King Arthur, Archie's Bunkers, Harambe, and Howe, in that order. And in the Homer J. Simpson division, the Tool Man, Who Shot JR, Edgar Allan Poe's, change your name, Regan's running backs, and Teddy's Big Stick. Thoughts on week one in Fantasy League? Or do you have no opinions on it, Danny?
Brendan needs actually to drastically change his... here's the thing with Brendan's team. He had a lot of quarterbacks underperformed. We all can agree on that. Tom Brady underperformed. Russell Wilson underperformed. Ben Roethlisberger, yes, he had a decent game, but Big Ben Sanders underperformed. A lot of these, Greg Scorbeck, Eli Manning underperformed, even though that, here's the thing, the week one bye of the Dolphins and Tampa Bay teams definitely affected the week one fantasy football.
Yeah, but that the weather had a lot to do with that.
Yes. Brendan's team, he needs running back help. That's why I was trying to unload to one of my running backs to him. But now I need running back help. Actually, I don't need help, but now I'm keeping all my running backs because Brendan just texted me, I don't need running back help. Yeah. He does need help because it's starting to running backs are Adrian Peterson and
Darren Sproles.
Darren Sproles.
He's got, Eddie Lacy and Jamal Charles on the bench.
That is sad.
Yeah.
It's not 2010.
Yeah.
Okay. He just told me to eat.
You just made the list.
It's not my fault. His team has scored the lowest points in all of fantasy football. He claims have a quarterback.
No, he didn't. Danny, he didn't score the lowest total this week.
Oh, who did?
How? 100.74. Brendan had 106.42.
Oh, so Brendan, okay, so he didn't even break 110.
Right.
But he claims I don't have a quarterback. I do. Brendan just texted me, production. Brendan's losing his mind over this. That's what he's exactly doing.
Refresh my memory, Danny. Who are your quarterbacks again?
I'm dropping Andrew Luck.
Who's your starting now? Carson Wentz?
Carson Wentz, who actually had a pretty good game, so... I'm going to stick with Carson Wentz for the time being, but hopefully my team can balance itself and Carson Wentz has a good year. Many people saying he's supposed to be having his breakout season, so I hope.
All right, so once the team name, everybody finally changes their team names, we'll update it as the season goes on and we do our show. But here's the matchups for week two. It's Reagan's running backs against Two Shot JR. Teddy's Big Stick against the Edgar Allan Poe's. Those two need to be updated. Hal against Archie's Bunker, Harambe against King Arthur, and the Tool Man against the Addams Family.
Rematch from 2 years ago.
Yep.
I can suggest a name for you.
What?
C is for Cunningham.
All right. But I mean,
how's that?
Happy Days.
Yeah.
Well, they already have the team names. They just haven't changed it.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, it's because they're...
I didn't know that. I thought they're undecided.
No, they just hadn't changed. Everybody's got their TV dad names. They just hadn't changed them yet.
Gotcha. It was a good name, too.
Yeah.
Brendan is his team name because he believes that Harambe never dies, and I do agree with him. Harambe never dies.
All right. Hey, that's a valid argument. But then why haven't the other two not changed their names?
What?
I said, why haven't the other two? Why haven't the other two teams not changed their names?
I don't know. They're busy, I guess.
Well, it should make for a interesting toss for fantasy football this year. And prize money. Do we have a championship this year, or is it just prize money again?
The trophy is pending.
All right, so the trophy's pending, but the prize money is still up for grabs. Third place wins gets, so it was a $10 buy-in this year. The total was upped by $5. So third place gets their $10 back. Second place gets $20. Winner gets $70.
And a trophy.
Yes, and a trophy. And I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago when we first did the flat, when we last did the Fantasy Flash. Steve may be onto something if this holds true and he misses the playoffs, that the champion from the year before gets the best grade in the fantasy draft and then ends up sucking the next season.
So yes.
He may have a valid argument with that.
Give me 1 second.
Sure. So Danny's trying to figure out whatever he's trying to figure out. We'll keep going here on the show. What's the reason why you didn't do fantasy this year, Jeff? Again.
It's going to be too much pressure on me.
How is it pressure? I thought fantasy sports was supposed to be fun.
It is, but then if you get really into it and then you just like spend most of your time more than you want to dedicate to fantasy sports and just watching every game and just like being agonized
right.
with your team performance just because you want to stick it to all your friends because you're not the most NFL savvy person out there.
Right.
It just just a whole lot of frustration and just not what I prefer mean, overall.
Right. Don't get me wrong. I
get that you could understand it, but the others they just can't. Yeah. So
I get it. I'm into fantasy football as much as anybody, depending on the sport. I've given up on fantasy baseball.
Because I'm not into it that I get overcompensated into it.
You're not into like specific teams in the NFL, or are you just not that into fantasy that you overcompensate?
Or like I'm a casual NFL fan, and I'm not really into like. When I want to do fantasy sports, I want to compete to win.
Yeah,
and I just go balls to the walls too far into it.
So, like, of the two sports, and I'm doing this as an argument, for argument's sake, football or hockey? Which one would you rather do?
Hockey.
Okay.
Even though I just do nothing, just draft my team, and then if no one else updates their team, I just keep on updating my team, and I win automatically.
Yeah. But you're more into hockey, clearly, than you are the NFL.
Yeah, of course.
Right. But the Boston Bruins have a good team this year, right, Jeff?
We're not talking about hockey, Brandon. Nice for you to join the show.
What?
Nice for you to join the show. We're not talking about hockey right now.
You just were. I heard the conversation.
It was fantasy sports.
Yeah, we're talking about fantasy sports.
You know what's stressful? Oh, Jen, want to know what's stressful?
What's stressful, huh?
Dealing with him.
Yes.
A gorilla was shot last year for no apparent reason. The country had to come together and mourn the death of a gorilla.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm derailing the podcast, I can tell.
You certainly are, Brandon.
Yeah.
But please get out.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi.
Have a good job. I'll talk to you later. Hopefully this doesn't make it. Goodbye.
It will.
All right. So we are...
What was that? Fix and pick 'em?
Yeah. You want to?
We'll get there in a few minutes.
Yeah. So has this been the longest drought that it's been since the Delaney's actually won a championship in this league?
It has been... This is the first time ever that two non-Delaney's have won Fantasy League, starting with you as the Night Train, completely steamrolled Greg and myself.
And Steve. I beat him in the first round.
It was historic. It was the first ever team under 500 to win the Delaney League Championship. You went on a hot streak and kicked ass. Steve last year finally got past the semifinals. To give an equivalent, I was the New York Rangers and he was the Washington Capitals. He finally beat the Rangers and finally made it to the championship, and then he won the championship. So I think I said congratulations to Steve. He didn't make his yearly speech like a champion's supposed to do because he doesn't care about it, which is quite degrading.
That's kind of sad, actually.
Yes.
I will admit, it brought down the mood a little bit in the draft room that night. Although, I give you full marks for actually going out and buying a draft board this year. That was cool. No, go ahead.
It's an awesome draft board. I suggest everyone gets it for all their drafts for football. We're definitely using it next year.
Yeah, well, Jeff, were you there when we did it on the computer that year?
Yeah, I believe so.
All right, so we tried doing it on the computer 1 year, but for at least in the years that I've been drafting in this league, we've done it on the computer 1 year. We hand wrote out our teams the other couple of years.
No, I wasn't on the computer. No, I just remember I brought my computer just to do research and whatnot.
No, we actually had it projected onto the TV at one point.
No, that was not me.
Okay, so yeah, Jeff missed that draft, and then this year we actually had the gigantic...
Was that the draft where he drafted me Ben Roethlisberger first overall?
No, that was not that draft, and I know you still hate me for that. But no, that was not that draft. Thank God that was not that draft. So yeah, we actually got a gigantic whiteboard this year, and we made Danny sign a contract, which was one of the greatest things I've ever seen. We actually made Danny sign a contract just to purposely not screw up as commissioner of the league this year. Good. Miracle in and of itself. Now, that's just to cover, to protect everybody's rear ends, because Danny has had a tendency in the past, I don't know if it's true or not, to make some shady moves as commissioner of this league. So that's why we made him sign the contract. And with that being said, we've stretched this show out long enough. Let's go pick football game, shall we? This is the Sully and Steve on Sports Pigskin Pick'em. Turn down for what?
And Pigskin Pick'em has returned for 2017. Finally, after a one-game hiatus, we are back. And we have a whole change of scenery here in terms of how games will be decided. Instead of just picking winners and losers where it just caused a lot of ties and issues, every game that will be picked, each game will be winner by how many points. So let's just give an example, let's say from last week with Patriots and Kansas City. All the three guys would pick which team will win and how many points they would win by.
So it would be like, let's say if it was a clean sweep, we all pick Kansas City, we all pick New England for argument's sake.
Yes.
And I said New England by a touchdown. Danny said New England by 14. Steve said New England by 3. Whoever was closest, if New England had won, would get the win for the week.
But since New England lost, you all lost.
Right.
So that's really it. And if somehow you both said, two of you guys said New England by 14, and that was the closest, then you both win. That's the only way that's going to be tied.
Right.
All right, so that's how it's all going to go down. And we're going to change things up. You know, Jets and Giants, we're not going to have our own personal pick. It's going to be four randomized teams.
All right.
And we do have a prize for the winner this year.
What is it?
It is a t-shirt that I asked if anyone wanted me to get when I was away in Phoenix for a convention.
Okay.
If anyone saw that, it is a shirt with, do you know Mario Kart?
Yes, I do.
Do you know the blue spike shell that goes all the way to the front?
Yeah.
It shows that with wings, and it has, in quotes, "I don't know who you are, but I will find you." The great line from Liam Neeson in Taken.
Yes! All right.
It is a very good shirt, and good luck. All you guys, and I hope one of you will win the shirt and wear it proudly.
And for the record,
I don't know why I said hope, because I know one of you will.
And since Steve is not here tonight, we will have his picks posted on the blog, on social media, Facebook.com/SullySteveOnSports and Twitter at @S_S_sports. One of us, probably me, will post that on Sunday.
Yes, so, Dan, are you ready to go into Pigskin Pick'em this week?
Oh, yeah.
What do you think about the prize, first off?
I saw a picture of that shirt. That is quite hilarious. I was gonna say, I just got on the show.
Oh, you lost your thought as well?
Yeah, I kinda did.
Alright. So here we go. The first game is gonna be from both New York teams. First one up will be the Jets at Oakland Raiders, soon to be Las Vegas.
Who goes first?
Dan, you want to go first since Matt's just still looking things up?
Yes. Once again, the Jets at a West Coast venue, not good. History shows that the Jets suck against West Coast teams. The Raiders are a much, much better football team than the Jets. This will be an ugly game from the Jets. Raiders will kill them. I say the Raiders win by 17.
All right, and I'm going to go a little bit. I'm giving the Jets a little more of a chance in this game. I'm still picking Oakland, but I'm going Oakland by 2 touchdowns. The Raiders are just too good of a team.
Oh, by 14 points. Oh, whoo, he went a little out.
I know. The Jets defense may actually pull its head out of its collective ass by the time they roll into Los Angeles on Sunday. So, Jets, Raiders. Raiders win it by 14.
It's still Oakland.
For now.
Sorry.
And the next game.
Wait, hold on. Let Danny do his thing. Danny?
Oh, yeah.
What thing?
Next game?
Oh.
Wow.
It's been a while. Next game.
Turn down for what?
So the next game is the other New York. This is the Giants' home opener, and they are facing the Lions.
Danny, you're starting it.
Okay. Monday Night Football, Giants and Lions, and Bears all nine. Sorry, I had to do that. The Giants need to show their fans what their offense is capable of. We all know that their defense is one of the best in the NFL. They need to show their offense is can run with all the other offenses in the NFL. The Lions' defense is because I don't see the Lions' defense being great because the Cardinals struggled, and Carson Palmer is not Carson Palmer from 2003. So I think the Giants win this game, winning the home opener, and I say the Giants win by 10.
And Matt's writing this down.
Yeah, I'm just making sure we have this down for the point of the show. I'm going the other direction. I'm calling the upset. I'm taking Detroit by a field goal. And I'm saying this because... there's two reasons I'm saying it. One, because of how... that has nothing to do with it. One is because the Giants looked historically bad last week against Dallas. The offensive line sucks, and that's being nice. I realize that, but unless the defense starts to step it up a little bit and the Giants' offense finds their form, and look at what Matthew Stafford did against Arizona last week. Because of that, and because of how bad the Giants looked against Dallas, the Giants, I hate saying this because I had the Giants going 11-5 and making the playoffs, but the Giants go 0-2 to start the year. I take the Lions by a field goal. Danny?
Next game.
Turn down for what?
And of course, Steve will give his predictions before the game start.
Yes.
Let's put that as a reminder for everyone. So now we start the randomizer for 2017.
Yay!
Ta-da-da.
And the first randomized game up is the Panthers hosting Buffalo. Will Buffalo go 2-0 and keep the division lead? Dan, you will start.
I want Matt to go first.
Fine. Carolina by a touchdown. Because the Panthers, I think, kind of really, I know Cam Newton's been coming off an injury. Kelvin Benjamin's coming off an injury. Both guys looked a little last week, Benjamin especially. But I think they're going to find their game again against Buffalo this weekend. Carolina's going to win it by a touchdown.
This game, both teams are at crossroads right now. Buffalo, I have no idea what their identity is supposed to be. And for the Panthers, they're looking for that glory they had 2 years ago with that defense and Cam Newton's MVP season. Like Matt said, Cam Newton's coming off a major surgery from the offseason. But the reason why I'm picking the Panthers, and I say Panthers by a field goal, the reason why I'm picking the Panthers is because of Christian McCaffrey. I think he'll be a big playmaker in this game. He only got, 15 touches is a lot of touches, but he didn't really have that breakout play from the first game of the season. I think he'll bounce back, home over for the Panthers, and Panthers win by a
field goal.
I'm not confident about that, just thinking about it, but you know what? Stick my decision. Is this the final game?
No, we have three more.
Damn, see? It's been a while. The Mets are killing me. Next game.
Turn down for what?
Right, quick question here. Because I just realized, should we do Price is Right rules? If he goes over that three threshold, if, like, let's say Carolina goes over 3 points, does that mean that Dan loses then?
Yeah, it's whoever's closest to the actual point differential.
Without going over.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, confirmation. Price is Right rules.
Yes.
All right, the next game here on our Pigskin Pick'em Randomizer, it is the season opener for the Dolphins at San Diego. Or, nope, L.A., my mistake. The Chargers.
See? I'm telling you, it's confusing.
It is.
I'll go first.
Okay, go. Hurry up.
See? I have no idea. Who's home?
Miami.
San Diego.
Los Angeles. The Chargers.
It's confusing, isn't it?
Los Angeles Chargers host the Dolphins.
Los Angeles Clippers. Gotcha. I say... God.
Fine, I'll go first. Dolphins by a touchdown. Miami's going to have inspiration in this football game. The Chargers almost pulled it off against Denver. But Miami's got the inspiration of an entire state behind them right now. So do the Bucs coming up this week. Because it's the first game for both teams because they had a bye week. Miami wins it by a touchdown.
I'll pick the Chargers by a touchdown. Matt's reasoning is bold. Because I think I remember Houston had a city behind its back. And they completely dropped the ball.
But Houston and Miami are two different teams. Miami's better.
Miami has no quarterback.
They have Jay Cutler. Enough said.
I hear Jeff laughing, all right? Chargers by a touchdown. Next game, Jeff.
Turn down for what?
The third of four randomizer games.
Oh, you just made the list.
Yes, sorry. Dan. Yes,
you can't say by a touchdown.
Why not? Yeah. Yeah, you both have different ends.
Yeah, I have Miami. You have L.A.
No, but touchdown is 6 points.
All right.
So crap. Because seeing the actual point is not a given.
All right, so don't worry. We'll refine it in the when I release it before game day. We'll have it refined in terms of that for the first three, first all four. Right. All right.
All right. Let's go.
All right. So there we go.
Next game.
So the fourth game or yes.
Third
randomizer game. I should say thank you, Matt. It is the Sunday night game with the Packers at Atlanta. New stadium also for the Falcons. So, Matt, who do you go for? And
Packers get revenge on Atlanta for last year's NFC Championship game. New stadium, different result. Packers get the win. Green Bay wins it by a field goal. Mason Crosby hits the winner as time expires. Green Bay by three. Choke on that, Atlanta, but they'll be back in the playoffs anyway. Packers win.
Dan, hurry up as well.
I will pick... Ah, crap. I'll pick the Falcons to win by 10 points. It's a new stadium. I think the place will be rocking. Falcons out for revenge for last season's choking on the big one. I know it's Aaron Rodgers and company. But like I said, their defense isn't that good as it was. And the Falcons need to prove that they're the best offense in the NFL after last week's performance. Yes, they won against the Bears, but for love of God, it's the Bears. So I think the Falcons, this will be a statement game. They win by 10 points. Jeff, final game, please.
Turn down for what?
And the last one declared by the randomizer. Will the Patriots finally get a win for the season as they go all the way to Nolens?
Danny, this is your team. Start it.
Patriots, this will be a shootout game. They win by 10.
And Matt?
I'll go a little higher. I'll go Pats by 14. Just to make things a little more interesting for the breakdown of the scores, I'll go Pats by 14. But I agree with Danny. It's going to be a high-scoring game. But New Orleans is going to make too many mistakes. I'll take the Pats by two touchdowns.
And also, before we shut it down, I should say also, if all three of you pick, like, say, the same team, and somehow it all goes over your predictions, the one that got closest to that
wins.
Yeah, that won't be Price is Right rules.
All right.
All right?
So if it's by 21, since I was closer at 14, I get the win.
Exactly. I'll be you too.
So, Danny, you know what to do.
Shut it down.
Turn down for
what? All right, so there you have it. Everything will be refined before kickoff on Sunday. You'll see it on our Facebook page, facebook.com/SollySteveOnSports.
And Twitter at @S_S_Sports. And on that note...
Yes, time to shut it down.
We have run out of time for this episode of the
Literally.
Show.
Can I mention one thing first? One quick thing.
Very quick.
Cleveland Indians are trying to make history right now. They're going for their 20th straight win. If so, they tie the overrated Billy Bean Oakland Athletics.
Alright, so we will keep you updated on social media for that, but by the time the show comes out. Anyway, all the latest news and notes on the sports world and this very show can be found on social media. Facebook.com/SollySteveOnSports. Twitter @S_S_Sports. Use the hashtag SollySteve. Either way works. We've got the blog, ssonsports.blogspot.com. All the latest episodes are on iTunes, and every single piece of audio we've ever got is on SoundCloud. Jeff posts them on social media more. We've got, if you have questions, concerns, comments, or whatever you don't want to leave on social media, email us, SollySteveOnSports@gmail.com. For everybody working hard behind the scenes, for Jeff and Danny, I'm Solly. We'll be back same time, same place, we hope, next week.
Windmill, windmill for the land, the forever hand in hand. Take it all out on your stride, it is kicking voting land. Love forever, love is free, let's turn forever, you and me. Windmill, windmill for the land, it's everybody in. Little dash.